When I was young, very young, my dad used to put me on his lap on Sunday morning and we'd read the Sunday comics. One of the comics that I remember was one called Alley Oop. And the star of Alley Oop was Little Abner. And Little Abner's wife was Daisy May. And they talked about, from week to week, they talked about things that went on in their farm life or whatever. But I remember one of the characters that was in that appeared from time to time was a little old fella called Joe Blutzvik. I don't know if I'm pronouncing it right or not. It's B-L-T-S-F-K, Joe Blutzvik. Did I get it right? Joe, every time you saw him in the paper, he had a little dark cloud over his head, just about the right size for his head. It was a little bigger than his head. Everywhere he went, he had a little dark cloud followed him around. It was always over his head. Everything that Joe did was wrong. Everything wrong happened to him. He had a bad outlook, and he expected bad things to happen to him all the time. Joe was the exact opposite of someone who is filled with the Holy Spirit. Sometimes that's the best way to illustrate it, by talking about the exact opposite. The whole point of Pentecost Sunday is the Holy Spirit and what it meant to early Christians and what it means to us today. Put as simply and to the point as possible, the Holy Spirit represents the continued presence on earth of Jesus, who has returned to the Father. That is a direct quote from the footnotes in the New American Bible for this gospel reading that we just read. The Holy Spirit is another advocate, and Jesus was and is the first advocate. He is our advocate now as our intercessor in heaven. And that takes me to the way it has come to me, through the Holy Spirit working in me, I believe, to illustrate this concept. Usually I think, when Pentecost comes and we talk about the Holy Spirit descending and tongues of fire being on the apostles and the disciples, people speaking in different tongues, we usually talk about the gifts of the Holy Spirit or the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And both of those are in Scripture. The gifts are wisdom, understanding, right judgment, courage, knowledge, reverence, and wonder. But I want to talk about the effects of the Holy Spirit. I believe, and have always believed, since I converted at least, that when the Holy Spirit is at work in us, it infects and infuses our human spirit, and we react and act accordingly. And the basis for this belief that I have is also scriptural. And it comes from the footnotes from the New American Bible for what we heard in the second reading today from the first letter to the Corinthians. There are three features that are common to all of the gifts and all of the elements of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. The first is that all of them are graces that come from outside us. We don't have anything to do with them. We don't cause them to happen. They are graces that come from outside us so that we can act as if we have the Holy Spirit in us. All of them are forms of service so that we can be of service to others, to other Christians, to others who are not Christians, and try and convert them. And all of them are workings signifying that God is at work in us. It's such a beautiful testament to the dynamic of the Holy Spirit at work in the world today. There are graces from outside us, they're forms of service, and they're all workings of showing that God is within us. As all of you know, I believe that real-life examples are the best kinds of illustrations, and I just happen to have a couple of them. These examples, one's about a woman I know and one's about a man I know. Neither are parishioners here, so you don't need to try and guess who it is, what I'm talking about. The woman, I was just with her a couple of days ago, she has so many woes in her life. She's getting pretty old. And right now she lives alone. One of her children did live with her until recently, her adult children. She lost her husband suddenly and unexpectedly, and they had a beautiful marriage, she says. One of her adult children is fraught with emotional problems and is having to get help. This woman, this lady, has many physical problems of her own. She had fallen and broken her back. She's had cancer, and then there are other problems as well that I don't remember all of them. And because of all of the combination of these things, she's having financial problems as well. And yet, when I visited with her, she told me that she is blessed. Why does she feel blessed with all of these problems in her life? The other one that I'm talking about is a man who is married and has his wife, but her mind left her about 5 years ago. They had a happy marriage. They loved one another, but right now he has to completely and totally take care of her. He has to put her to bed, he has to feed her, he has to get her up, he has to give her a bath, and he is totally dedicated to her and spends all of his days taking care of her. And yet, when you visit with him, he's always smiling and he's always fun to be with. How can he possibly have such a bright outlook and disposition with all the problems he has? So what is the source of the sense of joy that these folks feel in the midst of tough times? It's not all joy, obviously, but they do have a sense of joy deep down inside them. You can feel it when you're with them. I believe that their human spirit is infused and ignited by the Holy Spirit. And this happens in the form of so many friends that they have, family as well, but family is expected. So many friends come to their aid and continually help them. And I believe it's also due to the fact that they talk to God all the time. They do this because they have a solid prayer life. And finally, I believe so because they have a yearning for the Eucharist, and they receive the Eucharist when they can. Whenever we can take Jesus into our body, our heart and our soul and our spirit are filled. The Holy Spirit is our advocate. We just need to call on him. So when we were reading today's first reading from the Acts of the Apostles and we heard about the event of Pentecost and how the tongues of fire settled on the disciples and how they could hear different languages but understand them, we remembered and we looked at that in thinking back from the time that Jesus had died, when he suffered, died, and was raised from the rose from the dead. When he suffered, died, and rose from the dead, all the time between then and now, 50 days for us to Pentecost, all of that time, his apostles were confused. They had heard him talking about how he was going to suffer and die and rise from the dead, but they never quite internalized that. They never quite got it. And now they're trying to figure it out. But at Pentecost, it's all figured out. At Pentecost, their fear is gone. At Pentecost, they receive courage to go out, and they're emboldened. And they immediately went forth on mission trips and preaching trips and converted so many people. And they did the hard things, the tough things, the things that some of them got executed for. Some of them suffered and were executed, just like Jesus had been. The Holy Spirit makes these kinds of things possible. We also have the ability and the opportunity to overcome our fears and our tough times. We too can be Christ's representatives on earth with the help of the Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and enkindle in us the fire of your love.